Everybody, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show. This is Andrew Colvett filling in for Charlie Kirk. We have an amazing show in store. This is actually was an amazing hour. We talk about the college campus craziness, the pro-Hamas protesters, the inmates are running the asylum. All hell is breaking loose. And we break it down. And I will say, it's after having a really rough April, it's somewhat, we'll say, satisfying to see the left eating itself. We break down the ideological inconsistencies that are at the heart of what's happening at Columbia, NYU, and other schools across the country, and how the left is struggling to deal with the fissures, the fractures within its own ranks. You're not going to want to miss it. We also have Blake Neff, our resident Dartmouth grad and Ivy Leaguer himself, to help us analyze. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
We're going to be talking at the beginning of this show about all of this campus craziness that's going on, because this exposes a fault line in the left's ideology, unlike just about anything else. It creates a rock and a hard place for the American political left. It's progressives eating themselves in real time, and it's quite something to behold. You have sort of the law and order faction of the Democrat Party, the Democrat system. You still have cops in Democrat cities, after all. They have a job to do to maintain the peace and order, at least ostensibly so. They're hamstrung at every turn by woke politicians, Democrat politicians, especially in a place like New York. And yet, they also have to contend with this woke ideology of intersectionality and DEI, which places a hierarchy of value on different protected classes. So in that hierarchy, you have gender-confused peoples. You have black and brown individuals. You have indigenous peoples. And then you have Jewish somewhere below. As Alan Dershowitz wrote yesterday, he said that it's clear that Jews are second-class citizens. And now they are joining the ranks of white people in this country that have been much maligned in recent years as second- or third-class citizens in their own country. It's a sight to behold. It's absolutely horrifying. And so what we're seeing on campuses like Columbia is an explosion of violence. They call it peaceful protesting. We know that at least one woman was stabbed. There's also been massive clashes with police. There's been mass arrests at Columbia last night. 150 people were arrested. There was 45 people arrested last night at Yale for trespassing. And then you have the blowback after that. So go ahead and play cut 74 just as B-roll if you want. Played in the background. This is anti-Israel protesters carrying flares in the middle of the night last night after 150 of these protesters at Columbia were arrested. So I see this image and I instantly go, oh, wait. This is like the pro-Hamas version of the Charlottesville tiki torches that we hear so much about. And they're all wearing the headscarves in solidarity with Hamas. And again, I think it's really important to state the obvious fact here. And I'm sure in this audience we have people that are more and less sympathetic to the state of Israel for varying reasons. We could talk about those. But it's really, really amazing to see how all of this moralizing, all of this, these momentary value hierarchies completely flipped around. So we were told that Charlottesville was the worst thing that ever happened. And then all of a sudden, you see the left doing just about the same thing. It's important to remember where this started. October 7th, 1,200, 1,300 Jews were slaughtered in cold blood in a planned terrorist attack where they invaded Israel. And so now, this eruption of violence is absolutely striking and shocking that these are the people they're rallying behind because Israel retaliated. What did they think was going to happen? I want to talk to these protesters on the streets. If you have a terrorist group, Hamas, which keeps its people in abject poverty, and yes, Israel is antagonistic towards Hamas, which understandably so, since Hamas wants to destroy Israel. If you were going to go kill 1,200, 1,300 Jews in cold blood, did you not think there would be a response, a military response in Gaza? Or was that the plan the whole time? Is that you were going to kill 1,200 Jews and then play the victim afterwards when there was a response? And yet, this is what they're contending with. They are forced to confront their own twisted, nonsensical, full of moral and intellectual and ideological pretzel making of their own intellects. And they are confused. The left is confused. They don't know how to handle this. And so I'm thinking towards Charlottesville, that image that we just played on the screen of the flares, relating it back to the tiki torches. And, you know, Joe Biden got asked about this very same thing. So the reporter comes and asks Joe Biden, do you condemn the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses? And then he says, yes, of course I do. And we have a program for that. Well, do you defend what Israel's doing? Well, I've told them to ease off. You got to understand, this is Biden trying to thread the needle. He's trying to play both sides. This is Joe Biden's very fine people moment. It's an incredible piece of tape. And we're just pulling it up here. I really want you guys to hear it. It's going to be 76. This is an amazing moment where we are. Let's go ahead and play it, and then I'll react to it on the other side. 76.
Condemn the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses.
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians and how they're being moved.
Should the Columbia University president resign?
Right this way.
I didn't know that. I'll have to find out more about it.
Should he resign?
Literally. Very fine people on both sides. Now, the way that the left has spun that clip over the years, obviously it's been debunked. The president was not saying that Nazis are very fine people at all. Now, and without going into all that, it's just hilarious how the shoe is on the other foot. Now, the elite leftists are realizing that they are no exception to the far left's all-consuming demand to wage war against civilization. The left is an anti-civilizational movement. Where there is order, they sow chaos. Where there is law, they want criminality. My heart goes out to the Jewish kids on campus, to my Jewish friends, my rabbi friends. I feel terrible watching this for them because it's also insane. But there is just a bit of, I'm popping a little bit of popcorn because this is absolutely insane to watch them grapple with a nonsensical ideology that is so anti-civilizational. They are trying to act like, you know, they've got this under control. And now let's remember what this all goes back to. There was 100,000 people in Michigan that voted uncommitted. And Joe Biden basically knows he will not be president if he does not hold the blue wall. And so he's turned his back on Israel.
Most emergencies come without warning. And when the next one comes, you won't have a second to spare on packing and preparing. You need to get ready now before an emergency strikes. Your supplies should be within reach, ready to grab and to go at a moment's notice. Secure those supplies at MyPatriotSupply.com. Start with a 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. Helping millions of American families prepare since 2008, My Patriot Supply are the experts in all things self-reliance. Their 4-week emergency food kit offers 2,000 calories every day, protected by heavy-duty 4-layer packaging. These kits last up to 25 years in storage. These delicious foods are sealed inside rugged buckets with handles designed to grab in a hurry. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get as many food kits as your family needs for $50 off each. They ship fast and free in unmarked boxes. Save $50 per kit at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Getting into this ideological conundrum that the left finds themselves in. And again, remember, this is all because Joe Biden needs to win Michigan. Michigan, the blue wall. We've talked about it a lot on this program. It's the blue wall of Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and don't forget Minnesota, by the way. Joe Biden spent a lot of money on Minnesota. He just dispatched three very high-priced, high-paid, experienced operators into Minnesota to shore up Minnesota, because Minnesota is a little different than the blue wall. It, as you remember, it did not break for Trump in 2016 when the other three did, but it's been narrowing, and there's a lot of good people in Minnesota, so don't give up on Minnesota. It might be a bit of a white whale at this point, but never forget about it. So you've got this blue wall plus Nebraska, and I promise you there are going to be updates on Nebraska. So keep your eye on any two. That's Congressional District 2 in Nebraska, and see how if Pillen and the legislature there, it's actually a unicameral Senate, are going to move on this winner take all. We're hearing some whispers. So keep your eye on that space. But let's remember, Joe Biden right now has to win the blue wall plus Nebraska second congressional. He's the president, 270 to 268. So Michigan has 100,000 uncommitted voters. This Israel-Hamas dynamic is a massive thorn in his side. Then you compound that with RFK. There's a lot going on here, people, a lot in the equation for Joe Biden. So he's basically trying to play both sides. There's very fine people on both sides, if you will. We played that clip eventually. So there's very fine people on both sides trying to thread the needle. But guess what? Donald Trump, in the 1 minute that he has to like come and talk to the media, calls him out on it. And this is, you know, for all of the distractions, for all of the critiques of Donald Trump, you've got to give this man his due. He hits the nail on. He has a way of doing this unlike any other politician I've ever seen. And you see it in little ways. You see it when he gives a nickname to one of his opponents, how he zeroes in on that very tiny little opening and he exposes it. Well, guess what? He's doing that right now when he's critiquing what Joe Biden is doing with Israel. It's very fascinating. Let's go ahead and play cut 58. Again, remember the context here. He's in court in New York, surrounded by police. No protesters are anywhere near him. But he sees what's going on college campuses and he calls it out. And really, it's just a marvel. If you look at how he just picks apart Joe Biden right where it hurts. Play cut 58.
What's going on at the college level and the colleges, Columbia, NYU and others, is a disgrace. And it's really on Biden. He has the wrong signal. He's got the wrong tone. He's got the wrong words. He doesn't know who he's backing. And it's a mess. And if this were me, you'd be after me. You'd be after me so much, but they're trying to give him a pass. But what's going on is a disgrace to our country. And it's all Biden's fault, and everybody knows it. He's got no message. He's got no compassion. He doesn't know what he's doing. He can't put two sentences together, frankly. He is the worst president in the history of our country. And again, what's going on is a disgrace.
Let's go ahead and keep following that up. I love the, you know, our team is messaging in the chat like, oh, I wish the audio was better and all this. You know what? I love it. He's taking advantage of the time he's given, because he's basically on house arrest, but it's, you know, he's inside of a court. He can't campaign. Biden's done three campaign stops in Pennsylvania. You know what? The audio is what it is. It shows that he is the victim of a corrupt system. He's doing his best. And I think enough people are seeing just how corrupt and disgusting this trial is that they're giving him a pass. But guess what? He still has the presence of mind to comment on the biggest news story of the day. And that's these Columbia protests, these NYU protests. Like, let's play 59. He keeps going.
That's interesting outside. For great Americans, people that want to come down and they want to protest at the court and they want to protest peacefully, we have more police presence here than anyone's ever seen. For blocks, you can't get near this courthouse. And yet you have nobody up at a college where you have very radical people wanting to rip the colleges down, the universities down. And that's a shame. but it all starts with Joe Biden. The signals he puts out are so bad.
The signals he puts out are so bad. I think this is Trump 101. This is an amazing masterclass in pinpointing just where he's vulnerable, and he's putting him right in that rock in a hard place, and I love it.
Hey there, investing feels overwhelming right now, doesn't it? So complicated, so many decisions, but leaving your money in the bank, not so great. It's losing value every single day. So if it's stressing you out and driving you nuts, invest with Noble Gold Investments. Their precious metals are simple and real. There isn't a company on the stock market that was around 2,000 years ago, but gold was. It's always been there through wars, disasters, and turmoil. Reliable, dependable, and authentic. That's why you can't go wrong with precious metals. They've always had your back. Noble Gold Investments' American-based experts will show you how to set and forget your IRA or 401k. You'll get a dedicated professional assigned to you. No hassle, no call centers. Colin Plume runs Noble Gold Investments. We've had him on the show before. He's awesome. I love hanging out with him. He's terrific. I can vouch for his integrity and for his knowledge about gold and silver. In fact, I have my silver right next to me right here. I buy all of my gold from Noble Gold Investments. I have vetted them top to bottom. In fact, I know a billionaire that just made a very big purchase of gold from Noble Gold Investments. So visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to claim your gold coin. This month, Noble Gold Investments is giving a free quarter ounce gold standard coin at each qualifying IRA investment. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com, NobleGoldInvestments.com.
I'm joined by Blake Neff, one of our other producers on the show for this hour. And the reason being, Blake, is you are our resident Ivy League graduate. You don't lead with that to your credit, but you do have experience in this way. So I wanted to bring you in for this part of the discussion, Blake. I am enjoying the heck out of watching the left eat itself because it feels like for the last couple of days, we've been talking incessantly about the factions within the right. You see this play out perfectly with this foreign aid bill. And it seems like Johnson's just basically abandoned his right flank. He used to be a part of that right flank, but now he has to be an adult in the room, or so the Atlantic and others would like you to believe. But I think that there is inspiration here. Now, again, I feel bad for people that are suffering because of this and all the chaos that's ensuing, but it's exposing a fault line that we would absolutely be insane not to exploit on the left. Am I right?
Well, exactly. You know, we were discussing this when we were thinking, what should we cover? And it's been a tough April, I think, for conservatives. We've seen the House let us down. We've seen conflict within our own ranks. And it was useful today to pause and remember, wait, actually, the Democrats have a bunch of reasons. They all dislike each other, too. And those are getting really intense. We're seeing serious attacks on Biden. They're not lightening up. It's been 6 months since October 7th. It's all getting worse. We're hearing these genocide Joe chants all over the place. And, you know, now the weather's warm. I think we're going to see a lot more of these protests. The war in Gaza hasn't ended. We could see the situation where, who knows, maybe Bibi Netanyahu wants Joe Biden out. And so he'll time one of his big offensives right during the DNC or something. And it's all going
That's cynical.
Yeah, it would be. But you never know. Yeah. It is still going. They have delayed it several times, that offensive they were worried about in Rafah. But it's not called off. And I think you could easily see it's not easy to win either way, because since this is mostly people on the left on both sides, are really kind of, I don't know what the right word for it is, but they're very agitated very easily. So you look at Colombia, the president of Colombia, they're calling for him to resign on the relative right because he's not clearing out all the protesters. But on the left, they're also denouncing him because he's arrested some of them. So it's sort of whatever you'll have people freaking out.
You called the relative right. You're just talking within
within the left. These are all still
party, right? Like,
there's so many of these people on campus who had every BLM sign in 2020, who maybe had hands up, don't shoot in 2014. And now a lot of these people are like, whoa, wait, they're attacking the thing I care about. They're using all that stuff against me.
This is exactly right. Now, the same ideology that was behind hands up, don't shoot, and all, you know, Black Lives Matter. I almost said all lives matter. Black Lives Matter. This is just it reinvented. And actually, if you go back far enough, it's part of the Occupy movement energy probably bubbling up. But it's this is the same ideology reinvented, reworked, pushed by the same ideological core.
Well, I don't want to say
it has no.
We shouldn't say it's the same because, again, a lot of the people on on the pro-Israel side are pro-Israel Democrats who were on board with a lot of this. A lot of them were, you'll find them who were, I don't want to say leaders, but prominent voices in this. What I will say is the same is this is a core kernel of leftism as it's existed for the past 100 years, really. There is always this impulse on the left that is anti-civilization, anti-structure, anti-institutions, anti-the West, anti all of these things. And what's sort of been a tension that's existed is Israel actually represents a lot of these things, especially in the context of the Middle East. But for various reasons, it hasn't been a big issue within the Democratic Party. But thanks to the way that they've reinvented their own party through immigration, through the coalitions they've built, through the ideological fads they've indulged, it's now blowing up on Israel, on people who care about it. And it's really ripping their coalition apart.
Well, and I think, I have so many thoughts. The Democrat convention is going to be just lit this year. It's going to be,
it'll be amazing.
Absolute madness. And we need to really be thinking strategically about how we message on that. And we also have to stay disciplined in our messaging, right? But you mentioned April's been a bad month for conservatives. Just no doubt. It's been a write-off month as far as I'm concerned. Just terrible on many fronts. Our base is a little bit demoralized. We need to realize that the fault lines that exist on the left are massive. And you are exposing them piece by piece with this conundrum that is Israel. Now, we have it a little bit on the right, but I think by magnitudes greater on the left. And I want to play a clip here of John Fetterman, of all people. Now, John Fetterman is a guy, he's a leftist, I think, economically. There's no getting around that. I'm not saying he's one of us, okay? Just, for everybody saying, I don't give in. No, John Fetterman is a symptom of the ideological inconsistencies inside the Democrat Party. Him bubbling up is just, it's sort of like a hat tip to him for having the courage to say it. And having the courage of his own convictions. It doesn't mean I believe in all of those convictions. I'm not saying he's a conservative all of a sudden, but listen to John Fetterman. Now, John Fetterman's gone around the protesters waving the Israel flag. He's very pro-Israel. Cut 63.
But it is not appropriate or illegal, or it's helpful to advance your argument if you show up in a Starbucks with a bullhorn and start yelling at people. And that doesn't make you noble. It just makes you. It's very American to protest and to do that in the appropriate way, then I absolutely support that. I'm not suggesting that you have to agree with my view, but it's just saying it doesn't really allow you to disrupt lives and to inflict those kinds of damages on people that are just trying to get on with their lives.
John Fetterman, the voice of reason within the Democrat Party. It's we're living through strange times, as they say. This timeline is out of control. Blake, as a Dartmouth grad, as an Ivy Leaguer, when you see this sort of this effervescent, passionate, just explosion of emotionalism, and it's very infantile, in my opinion. What is the root cause of this? Is it truly held beliefs, or is this sort of mob mentality? What exists on these Ivy Leagues especially that makes this so possible?
Well, a lot of it is, first of all, they're definitely doing politics the way you're supposed to in modern America. When I was there about 15 years ago, it was pretty much the exact same way as this. It worked the same way. It was only happening on college campuses then. I would go home and I would tell people, there's all this crazy stuff that's going to come out of these campuses that's going to blow up America. And they'd be like, oh, that's so funny, Blake. But now it's everywhere. But it was the same thing. What you have is it's sort of the culmination of a societal value set that rewards victimhood, that has relentlessly pushed all of history as a contest between, victims and oppressors, between exploiters and exploited. And when that's the entire way that you're framing the moral nature of reality, then you're going to make it so the people who go to top campuses are the people who have most successfully internalized this worldview. They've learned to use it to get what they want. They've also, frankly, used it to get into the school. I mean, we have almost every single person on these campuses, like, they end up having some sort of sob story for why they should be allowed in. I know someone who was actually from a quite wealthy background, but they got into Dartmouth by writing an essay that basically tried to pretend that they were really poor, and it seems to have worked. I know another person who got in who was Asian, but what he did is he strongly implied that he was half Native American, and this somehow worked. And so this is when you have your entire value structure built around this. Oh, what a shocker. You have a giant group of people who are prepared to side with anyone that gets labeled a victim, no matter how abhorrent they are. So Hamas are evil people who fly into rock concerts to murder people and rape people and kidnap people. And then when they face any consequences for this, they sob about how sad it is that they're getting bombed and attacked. And the people on Ivy Leagues are like, yes, they're the victims. It's really sad what's happening to those Hamas people. And yeah, now it's ripping apart the left. And we should, I don't want to say like we should work to exploit it. I think we should, but don't overthink it. We're fans of Senator Hawley. We're fans of Senator Cotton, but they recently called to send the National Guard in on campus. I wouldn't do that yet. I think, first of all, we shouldn't end up overreaching and becoming anti-free speech here. We are supporters of free speech. We should not blow that all up.
Hold on. Yeah, I'm not pro sending in the National Guard, but this whole leftist thing where they just occupy zones, like whether it be Chaz in Seattle or this, like, you know, Hamas city that they've just built, this Gaza Plaza or whatever they're calling it at Columbia University, that to me is completely unacceptable, and it should not be allowed to happen. But I do think it should be handled on the local level. But again, you're dealing with a city that is so beholden to these woke ideologies that I just don't know that they can deal with it. But it's starting to become very, very clear to me, Blake, as we look towards November and the messaging discipline that we should have on the right. When you've got, you know, this is a subtle story. We haven't touched on it. But Charlie in a chat got really upset about it yesterday, so I'm going to bring it up. And that's, you see this bill in California where they're trying to ban clear at the airports. If for those of you who don't know, I mean, if some credit cards offer this for free. If you sign up for the credit card, they'll give you a clear membership. And it's basically where you scan your eyes, you get front of the pat, you get front of the line at the airport check-in, getting through security. It may seem unrelated, but to me, it's this assault on, you know, why don't they just ban first class tickets, right? Why don't they ban success? Why don't they ban merit? None of these things are consistent with the ideology. And actually, if you really get down to it, a lot of people hate Israel because Israel's been successful as a country. Jewish immigrants to America have had a lot of success in different ways. They then see them as oppressors. So it's part of this ideology where, if you just sum it up, the left is at war with merit. The left is at war with success. The left is at war with anything that would allow you to get ahead. And so they're so ideologically driven that they can't help themselves. They're even gonna ban clear at the airports. And it kind of sums it up. It's like, you don't have to agree with us on everything, but guess what? There's one side of the aisle that still believes in an America where you can get ahead, where you can stay ahead, where you can make your family and your future better. And there's a whole other party that says, we don't care. Got the wrong skin color. No thanks.
Debt, it keeps you tossing and turning at night. You can't get away from it. But the truth is, the system is designed to trap you in debt. Insanely high interest rate credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. There's a new way out of the debt trap, Pivotal Debt Solutions. Pivotal Debt Solutions isn't like the old school debt relief companies that string your debt out for years. They have new aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. With Pivotal Debt Solutions, you can cut or even eliminate interest, find programs to write off your balances so you owe less, stop these threatening phone calls, and without bankruptcy and without a loan. Bottom line is they find every solution possible to end your debt, permanently. Before you do anything, contact Pivotal Debt Solutions first to talk to them for free. Find out how fast they can get you out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That is zapmydebt.com. Zapmydebt.com.
All right, let's throw this graph up, Blake. You have you're skeptical about this, but let's throw it up. Cut 78. Just throw up the image. This is a April 2024 national poll that basically posits that the more hours you work a week, the more likely you are to vote for Donald Trump. So right at 30 to 39 hours a week, it's about even, 43 for Trump, 45 for Biden. But you see a big split at 40 to 49 hours. You got 50% Trump to 38% Biden. At 50 to 59 hours a week, you get 59% Trump to 35% Joe Biden. And then at 60 plus hours a week, it's 80 to 7. All right. And that is from ECP, which I'm not exactly sure the source. So, you know, I wish I had more on the source. I didn't look that up before. Blake, if you can get some details on that. Now, what's interesting about this, when you relate it back to this cutting the line bill in California, when you relate it back to Israel, and I think, you know, it's almost too simplistic, but it's almost extremely accurate to say that, you know, one of the reasons Israel is the second class citizen on the leftist hierarchy is they code as white, that whiteness. But overall, this is an attack against success, against working hard, against this American idea that you can make your life better if you put the work in, of meritocracy. The best gets to the front of the line. If you can afford or have good credit, you know, you can get that house. If you can get the credit card that has the clear pass with it, I think it's American Express and maybe some others, you get to the front of the line at the airport. They hate this stuff. They hate it. They hate standardized test scores. They got rid of them, and now they're all bringing them back because they realized that the students that were getting high test scores were actually the best students. So, I mean, it's one thing after the other, but it's embedded deeply within their ideology, and it must be exploited because leftism leads to mediocrity. Hear me again. Leftism leads to mediocrity. And by the way, Blake, you as our resident Ivy Leaguer, would agree that there's still a lot of smart kids at these Ivy Leagues. It's not to say that it's an ideology that's at war with their own exceptionalism. Am I wrong? Or are they not that exceptional?
Well, they're less exceptional than they were before. You have a higher and higher share who they are getting recruited for reasons that aren't just like raw ability. You have much more, you know, rewarding of spoils just based on basically, you know, skin color or sex or some sort of grievance story. It's still highly demanding to get in. These are very competitive places. That's why I'm skeptical of that poll, where it's mostly true. It's definitely true that if you work more than 40 hours, you're more likely to vote for Trump. It's just at that 60 plus hour range where they say it's 80% Trump. The people who work that many hours, I associate it with like corporate attorneys, finance professionals, doctors in residency. It gets weirder on that end, and the idea that only 7% of those people.
But hold on, that's a lot of small businesses, though, Blake. Small businesses are the people putting in that many hours. That's the people that own their own construction company, for example.
But I just say where you have thousands and thousands of people working that much, I think you see that a lot in, like, frankly, high-end professionals. People who are in elite professional jobs actually work more hours than people who aren't. And sadly, those people are liberal these days because that's the status ideology to hold. I don't want to get down on the rabbit hole of this. What is true, you are correct, is this cancerous aspect of the left of being hostile to anything successful, being suspicious of anything successful. It is clearly getting worse, and it's manifesting in a million different ways. And, you know, the oldest principle in economics is sort of you get more of what you pay for, more of what you subsidize. Just the other day, the Biden administration sued Sheetz, the convenience store, because they're discriminating against people with a criminal record in hiring. And they say you can't do that because it's causing you to hire too many white people. Well, okay, if you're sending the message that you can't be opposed to hiring criminals, well, you're going to get more criminals. You're going to hire more criminals. And that's especially bad when we also don't punish criminals anymore. And we see this in a million different places. in California, UC San Diego, they just implemented a new rule where if you want to go to a selective major like computer science, it doesn't come down to your grades. It's going to come down to your background. How much money do your parents make? Are you from a disadvantaged background somehow? Well, all of that matters way more than your actual grades.
But so again, I think messaging discipline, if you believe in the American ideal of work and merit and getting ahead, there's only one choice. And we got to stay focused on that. We get distracted too much. Thanks so much for listening. If this show means something to you, if you get something out of it, if it's a place of solace, of refuge, of calm in the midst of chaos, please consider joining members.charliekirk.com. That's members.charliekirk.com, where you get exclusive access to Charlie, unlike anywhere else. And you help us keep the lights on, and you help us remain fearless in the face of censorship and boycotts and cancellations, which there are many. Trust me, on the back end of this show, I see it all. So please join members.charliekirk.com and help us out. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.